much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Who's that stumbling around in the dark? State your business or prepare to get winged.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Are you forgetting what Tecumseh said?
I had forgotten that.
Well, I wrote this song for the Christian youth. I want to teach kids the Christian truth. If you want to reach those kids on the street, then you got to do a rap to a hip-hop beat. So I gave my sermon an urban kick. My rhymes are fly, my beats are sick. My crew is big and it keeps getting bigger. That's because Jesus Christ is my...
The hour's coming.
And now...
I really only listen to, like, German death reggae and Halloween sound effects records from the 1950s. And Bette Midler, obviously.
Our feature presentation.
More preachers should rap, I think.
Right?
I like that trend.
I just think more white people should rap.
Sure.
Preachers.
Sure.
Just more white people should rap because we're so funny when we do it.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 8th of May.
You know what? I'm surprised. You know how it is? A story comes along in the news and some people become obsessed with it and some people, it barely makes any kind of an impact. We all have those because you can't keep up with everything that goes on all the time. I'm surprised, Kevin, you haven't been talking about your little friend Jody Arias. Isn't the jury, like, deliberating right now?
They are, but what's there to say about that exactly? I mean...
Well, I would imagine you would just be on pins and needles waiting to see. You've spent 1,000 hours of your life following this case.
No, I haven't. I've spent some time, but not that much.
Has most of it just been because your wife has it on, you're kind of forced to pay attention to it?
Yeah, I'll sit down and watch for 10 minutes, and then I'll go, how can you watch this?
Are you into it at all?
Yeah.
Do you care? Do you care what happens? Because if they come out with a verdict, whatever it is, it will make – like, I'll have no feeling about it because I don't know anything about the case. It's just not something that has captured my attention.
I know enough that she should be found guilty. I know that. And if she's not found guilty, I'm going to get a TV.
Really?
Other than that, though, you're
taking it to the streets if she's cleared, huh?
Yeah, I mean, she's just been caught in 1,000 lies. Those of you who don't know, she's the one who stabbed her – boyfriend.
Allegedly.
She admitted it. 27 times, shot him in the face, and almost cut his head off.
But her defense is
all
that she's nuts?
Her defense was that it was in defense.
Oh, self-defense.
Self-defense. But then,
and you don't buy it.
Then the prosecutor shows 15 different ways that she premeditated and thought about this and got the plan ready for that, and it just went
on. So she was just prepared for self-defense. That's all. She just lined up her self-defense in case she ever needed it.
But then he would say, were you lying when you said this? And she'd say, she's the one that went on Nightline and said, or 2020 or one of those shows, two ninjas broke in and killed them. That was her original story.
You don't know, man. You weren't there.
Two ninjas. Now she says, no, it was a lie. I was lying then, but I'm not lying now.
That story has missed me, but I couldn't still, 24 hours later, be more in love with my friend Charles Ramsey in Cleveland. You remember our guy from yesterday.
Hey, Charles, let me talk to you. I'm talking with Charles Ramsey.
Sure.
He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I'm eating my McDonald's.
All right, so that guy I fell in love with. And when we saw it, when we first saw him, all we thought is, how long do we have to wait for the auto-tune? Because clearly this guy is an internet sensation. I want an auto-tune and I want it now. Well, same day, the Gregory brothers came through.
That's what I'm talking about. Those are the guys.
Those are the guys. That's the people who you want to do it, man. They songify everything and they just turn it into a song. I have several of their songs. I have Antoine Dodson. I have a couple of them on my iPod as regular songs because they're just so great.
The Rainbow Guy? Double Rainbow Guy?
Double Rainbow Guy was there. The Sweet Brown? The Lord Bits of Fire. Got her? Well, the Gregory brothers have auto-tuned my friend in Cleveland, and here's what some of that sounds like.
Talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dad gave away. Dad gave away. My neighbor got big testicles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude. But we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out.
How awesome is that?
Wow.
Great.
How great is that? Now, there's a bunch of people in the Gregory Brothers, four or five of them, and they do live shows. And I think they may even be working as musicians now. Remember, they all had regular jobs when this thing started.
I thought there were only two of them.
No, there's, I mean, they have a live band that they take out and everything, too. There's more of them. And there's a woman who sings with them named Sarah. And also on their channel, they have her doing the delicate acoustic cover of that same song. Because, you know, that always happens. First, you get the original, then you get the auto-tune, and you start getting the covers.
Sure.
Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway. My neighbor's got big testicles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue. That girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out. So I opened the door, can't get in that way. A body can't fit through the door, only your hand. So we kick the bottom.
Come on, right?
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
You really have to download that stuff. It's really good.
It's really good. It's like better than a lot of songs you hear on the radio.
Oh, yeah, no question about that.
So I'm very, very excited to present those to the world. And, of course, they'll be in this week's Internet Roundup. And, well, they'll be inescapable. But good stuff right there.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You got some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
Craig Robinson will be in the studio.
Yeah, so we're Craig Wilson.
Craig Robinson, as Lisa calls him, sure.
We also have Claire Brown, Bowen, sorry, who is one of the stars of Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hope she talks like this when she has a
different voice. She really does.
Tiny little voice, that girl.
Yeah, she sure does.
We also have, I think what we're going to do is we're going to go through yesterday's start at this time. I don't know if you were listening yesterday at this time.
Oh, God bless you if you were.
But, wow, it was just a disaster. And we have disasters on this show a lot, but this one really might top the list.
We have a lot of shipwrecks, but very few Titanics.
Correct. Yeah, this is a Titanic. So we're going to go through that, I think, piece by piece and second by second.
Okay.
Well, this is what you do. This is when you recover the black box
right
after a plane accident. You try to put the pieces together. You know, you get all the wreckage together. You put it in a warehouse and you put it, you know, put the plane back together as much as you can so you can find out what happened so you can avoid similar disasters in the future.
Exactly. We're going under the hood of the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to try and figure out what's going on so that it never happens again. It will happen again, but we're going to try and, you know, not allow it. We also have Jimmy Kimmel on the program today.
Awesome.
Who, of course, is Playboy's Women of the Night.
Nope. Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People.
Right.
He's on that list.
Same thing. You have disputes with your neighbors. We're going to talk to you today. We tried to do this yesterday. Didn't have time.
Okay.
And we have your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013, your tickets to the show, and your backstage passes.
Sweet.
So we got that so you can win as well. Coming up, we will take a break, and we will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Our friend Adam Carolla was at a charity event over the weekend with a bangle and a blues traveler and fits in the tantrums and apparently had some sort of emotional breakthrough with Howie Mandel. May have cured Howie Mandel of all those problems we've been hearing about for all these years.
It's the strangest grouping of names I've ever heard.
No kidding.
It is. It definitely is. Adam is going to tell us all about that coming up right after the top of the hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, Ralph joins us. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Did you guys get your invites to that party?
To Adam's party?
Yeah. Big party with all the celebrities and the booze and the free booze and everything.
I'm sure I did. I didn't see it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's it.
You know, I'm sure it came.
I probably
to the house.
It was probably so small or something that we
right
couldn't see it.
Just missed
it.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah.
It probably got stuck in the pages of the Penny Saver or something.
It could be. It happens a lot.
That's probably what happened.
Right.
Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Tributes still pouring in about the undisputed master of special effects, Ray Harryhausen, who died yesterday at the age of 92. Special effects wizard whose movie magic inspired directors for his entire career. George Lucas said yesterday that without Harryhausen, there would likely have been no Star Wars. Peter Jackson said Lord of the Rings is his Ray Harryhausen movie. And James Cameron said, if not for Ray's contribution to the collective dreamscape, we wouldn't be who we are. Of course, these are all guys who pioneered the digital technology that put Ray Harryhausen out of work. So,
well done.
Well done.
Thanks for your help.
Now,
we'll take it from here.
I'm glad you appreciated his work, and then you kicked him to the curb.
So did he die broke or something?
No.
And he's buried in a pauper's grave as a result of losing his work?
He was fine. He did very well. Because he invented a lot of techniques that are still used to a certain extent in practical special effects.
He didn't
have
anything
to do with the digital. So, sure, Kevin's a big fan of Dynamation. I know that.
Well, there would have been no Gumby without him, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. He was the king of stop-motion animation. And he said, around 1998, they interviewed him, and he said, it's very funny for me to watch a film all the way through and sit through the end credits and read the names of 200 people that did what I used to do by myself. So he had a good sense of humor about it.
Now what?
In, out.
Still in.
Still in.
Okay. How can she be making news if she's still in rehab?
Because she has a problem.
She's Lindsay Lohan.
They're finding out now that the reason she picked the Betty Ford Clinic is because it was the only treatment program that would let her keep using her beloved Adderall. Adderall, for those of you who don't know, is a powerful stimulant used primarily to treat ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And if you have that, they give you the Adderall, which is basically pure meth. And you take that, and because of your body chemistry, it has the opposite effect on you that it does on most people, which is to calm you down and make you more regulated. A lot of people, however, use the pure meth as pure meth.
Yes.
And they become very addicted to it, and it's able to ramp up their metabolism so they lose weight without diet or exercise. And some people would allege that this is the way Lindsay Lohan likes to use it, and the prospect of kicking it was something that she did not cotton to. So Betty Ford said, if you genuinely have ADHD, which, you know, you can get anyone to diagnose you with anything, then we'll allow you to keep using it while we're treating you for alcohol and other dependency issues.
Okay.
Now, they've announced that they're going to evaluate her separately for her ADHD and take a new look at the diagnosis. The staff doctors are going to evaluate her and might cut her off from the Adderall.
Wow, she's already got her people looking at other rehabs.
Which I can only imagine would send Lindsay off like the Tasmanian devil, just whirling around, busting through walls and things. So we'll wait and see what happens.
So, Ralph, what would happen to a guy like me who doesn't have ADHD if I started taking Adderall?
It would
be speed, right?
It would be speed. It would affect you the way meth affects somebody.
So I could get so much done.
It'd get you amped, and get you wired.
Because really, that list of things that you have to do every day,
right.
It's endless.
It would get you off the couch to the other side of the room.
I could go to so many post offices if I run Adderall.
Yeah. Well, that's what I look forward to. It's worth it. Yeah. Farrah Abraham.
Who?
I'm sorry. Beer mugs reflexes are like that of a sloth, of a three-toed sloth. Mm-hmm. We said Farrah Abraham, and he was like, who? And he was still on the other side of the room. I don't know. I think he was eating something. And then it dawned on him what we were looking for, and then he raced over here.
He's got a built-in delay.
It does.
In his head.
He's on a different time zone.
Farrah Abramson.
There you go. Farrah Abramson. She may be a lying whore. She may be a talentless white trash piece of garbage.
Yeah.
But people want to see her get boned in the A.
Oh, is it selling?
That much we know.
She's not hideous, by the way. She's
not at all.
She's fine.
But she's fine.
Yeah.
That's top level.
But I'm saying if I were to come across that porn, I'd watch.
The thing is,
I wouldn't keep going.
In real porn, there are scads of women who are so much hotter than she is.
Agreed, yes.
Who do it professionally.
Yeah.
So your options when it comes to porn are really
pretty endless.
Pretty endless.
Yeah.
In terms of more attractive women.
And she's not famous enough to be interesting to me as a celebrity.
Well, you are in the minority then, sir, because Vivid Entertainment put it up on their website yesterday for download, and their site crashed.
Crashed?
Just to give you some perspective, the download, the hits for Kim Kardashian and Ray J's sex tape?
Yes.
600,000 hits the first day. First day yesterday for Farrah Abramson.
Farrah Abramson?
2 million people logged onto the website and crashed it.
2 million?
Yeah. Day of release.
Over three times as much as Kim Kardashian?
Well, at the time, Kim Kardashian wasn't well-known. You have to remember, Ray J was a celebrity.
That's
right. So, you know, all the publicity surrounding the story has certainly helped sales. But, so people definitely want to see Backdoor Teen Mom.
How much are they selling it for, Ralph? Do you know?
I think it's $4.99 to download, and I have no
idea. Sell a lot of those to make that money back if she really did get, you know, high six figures.
I have no idea what the DVD will cost when that's finally released on stores in stores. But
she's a whore. Okay,
$5.
That's for the download.
For the download, 2 million downloads. That's $10 million.
Yeah.
If they paid her one,
They win.
They just made 9 yesterday.
Yeah.
So,
it's a good deal.
In one day.
Pretty good investment. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
We got to get into porn, guys. That's where the money is.
I'm not positive we're cut out for that.
Let's look around the room. Who here could make a porn video that people would say, I guess it's going to have to be. Sorry, Lisa.
How dare you? Look at my mustache.
Nope.
Yeah, look you do have to. Look at my mustache.
Right.
That's a pretty porn.
How
that's
can you look at my stash and not say I am built for a career
that
for
is
porn?
Porn-rific.
Thank you so much. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dodgers first baseman Adrian Gonzalez is 31 years old today. Dodgers last night lost the sixth in a row for twice this season.
Yeah.
Ooh. They've played like 30 games so far. They've lost six in a row twice.
They are holding on to last place hard in the National League West.
Damn.
They got it nailed down.
They're eliminated from the playoffs next year.
Enrique Iglesias is 38 years old. Dave Roundtree of Blur is 49. Actress Melissa Gilbert, she was a little half pint on Little House on the Prairie, 49 years old today. Alex Van Halen, the drummer for the band Van Halen, is 60. Speaking of playoffs, Mike D'Antonio, your L.A. Lakers head coach.
He's not coaching temporarily.
He is 62. And comedian Don Rickles, legendary comedian. He is 87 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Two podcast legends on one stage. Our friend Adam Carolla, along with Mark Maron, are going to be at the Amalfi Restaurant on North La Brea Avenue in Los Angeles at 7 o'clock. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. Doors open at 5:30. First come, first serve. Your ticket includes a glass of red or white mangria. And Mr. Carolla joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Adam.
Yeah.
How was having Susanna Hoffs at your house on Sunday, and what would 20-year-old Adam Carolla have thought about that?
I did. That's all I thought about. But I not only thought about 20-year-old Adam Carolla watching Susanna Hoffs, I thought about 30-year-old Adam Carolla watching Blues Traveler.
Right.
Yeah,
I remember...
Just as hot.
Going now, obviously one of them sexual, and that's Blues Traveler.
Yeah, of course.
And another thing is pure musical appreciation thing. Susanna Hoffs sounds, first off, she looks amazing, and she sounds amazing. It's people who sell a lot of pop records, sometimes we discount them as not being real musicians.
Right.
She's a real musician. She sounded unbelievable. Then John Popper sounded unbelievable, and then I was thinking about a 47-year-old Adam Carolla watching Fits in the Tantrums because I'd brought myself back up to 1 year off of real time, and I just couldn't believe that. The craziest part about the whole event is everyone who got up on stage thanked me for having them. And
that's weird.
That's weird because I didn't get thanked for a lot of stuff coming up, and especially coming to my yard and playing music like I was right. The Sultan of Brunei. And then it all came crashing down when Ron Jeremy came by and handed me a bottle of his signature rum. And I was a little buzzed. I said, you did say rum, didn't you, Ronnie? Otherwise,
you don't want that bottle.
Yeah.
Well, Adam had all these people in his house because he was doing a benefit, for Children's Hospital on Sunday, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. And turns out then Howie Mandel came by and we got drunk.
What?
And we had a moment, man.
You and Howie?
Really?
Me and Howie. I said, Howie, enough with the fist bumping and the six kinds of medication. All you need is some of this white mangria. And he was like, he had a moment. He had a breakthrough. I said, Howie, you're educated. You're not on drugs, or at least the kind you get from the guy who wears the cami hoodie.
Explain,
at the park.
If you're going to talk about it, explain what his problem is. Yeah, what his disorder is.
I mean, he can't touch people. He has, he's sort of paranoid. He's a clean freak. He told me when he was a kid, he said his parents were very accommodating. When they would go on vacation, they would lay out a trail of towels so that he could walk from the bathroom and get onto the bed so we could watch TV.
Because he didn't want to walk on the carpet?
Right. First off, let's just do something for a second. The carpet may not be the cleanest thing in the world, but it's never seen the back of my balls. The towel is well versed with the back of my balls.
Meaning the towel is worse than the carpet.
Well, we have this thing where it's like you can't do this, but you can't touch that, but you can do this, but you can't touch that. But if you really think about it, the towel has seen everyone's worst parts
right.
10 times over. The carpet has seen the bottom of your shoes or your feet,
that's
which
right.
is not as bad as the back of your balls. That's a good point. Kevin, if I said I could put one thing on your forehead one time, it would be the sole of my foot.
Yes. I already picked shoes.
You already picked shoes.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Or foot or whatever, yes.
This moment that you had with Howie, though, when he was a little bit buzzed on Mangria, did you talk him down from the ledge a little bit on some of this OCD behavior?
He said, you don't understand. I have a problem. I said, yeah, but if we were just on an island somewhere scrounging for food, you wouldn't care what you ate. You wouldn't care about germs.
That's true.
You surrounded yourself with a bunch of doctors and a bunch of people that are essentially, they're enablers. They're the white man's posse. Heavy, man.
That is heavy.
But it's true. I told you guys once, we were taping Loveline on MTV. Dr. Drew had a full-blown panic attack. He said, I have to leave the stage because Jon Favreau was being a douche to him. And he went to his room and he said, I'm having a panic attack. You don't understand. I need some time. And I said, I do understand. Now get your ass back on stage. We're going to finish this show because we have two more to do after this. We would gang tape shows. I said,
right.
I don't want to be here all day. Well, you're having a panic attack. He said, I'm having a panic attack. I said, have it on stage. Go out there, sit down. I'll do all the heavy lifting. That's all I do anyway. You just sit there. All you have to do is sit there. I'll take the next three phone calls. We'll move ahead. And he walked out on stage, and he sat down, and the panic attack was over. But if I had said to him, oh, my God, you have to breathe in this bag. Shall I call a physician? Then he would have gone deeper into a panic attack.
So basically, Adam, let me just cut to the chase here. So if you were running things, if you were the Surgeon General, your advice for people with problems would be just get over it.
Well, have a shot of whiskey, and then I'll backhand you, and then you can get over it. Like, in the 1870s, Howie Mandel would have got a shot of brandy,
and then someone
would have backhanded him, and then he would have got back to work, right?
All right. Listen, when was that with Howie Mandel?
This was Sunday afternoon. He got drunk on Mangria, and I said, Howie, you are one of the smartest, hardest working guys I know. You've been married for 35 years.
Yeah.
You're the sanest guy I know in every other respect. Now,
why don't you
just drop it and get the F to work?
Because I saw him last Friday night at a charity benefit, and somebody went up to shake his hand, and he just did the fist bump thing.
Yeah, that's
acceptable to him, but not the handshake.
That's what he did, and then I said, look, we're going to cure you right now, and I had Ron Jeremy tackle him to the ground.
There you go.
And Howie went into a seizure.
Hey, thanks for coming on, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
Give anything away here, but Weenie Roast coming up a week from Saturday.
Right.
Just played the Ramones.
So we're having the Weenie Roast in heaven now? Is that the plan?
You listening out there?
No one's better than the Black Keys. They're maybe the biggest rock band in the world today, and they are headlining the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 along with 30 Seconds to... What am I hearing right now, Kevin? Are you hearing something?
You're hearing the Starship Enterprise is what you're hearing.
Roland, we were just talking about the Weenie Roast just for a second.
Go ahead, I'll wait.
Vampire Weekend of Monsters and Men, Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups, Imagine Dragons, AWOL Nation, Atlas, Genius Fits, and the Tantrums. An incredible lineup. And that's just the main stage, by the way. We have tickets and backstage passes you can win all week long. It's very strange to feel like I'm standing on the deck of the Starship Enterprise while I'm trying to do this. And we'll have those tickets for you this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. What's so important, Roland?
Why are you
phasers for boring?
All right. Usually you bust into our programming because we're not talking about something. But I can't imagine what it is this week because I feel like we're living in nerd heaven. Ralph's been going on and on about the Iron Man. He's been talking about that dude who died. I mean, we've been hitting it this time.
I am calling to protest that your show is on the air, that you are not taking a day of mourning for special effects genius Ray Harryhausen.
Well, I mean... He may have come before our time.
Mighty Joe Young!
Which came out when, Roland?
Let me think. I guess the late 40s, early 50s.
Right.
Okay, look, it's fine. We're happy for you. We're happy for him. And I'm sure we all benefit from the man's work. But we did cover it. Ralph has been talking about it on the Showbiz Beat. That's enough.
That's not enough, Jason and the Argonauts!
Okay. Right. What do you want us to do with these movie titles that you're screaming?
I want you to cry and weep like we've all been crying and weeping at the loss of a legend and a genius, a man who created everything.
Can't we give him his props and then just move on? Because, you know, we don't know him personally. He didn't affect my... Is that a no?
Dick Baker for douchebag. I also haven't heard you talk about Star Trek Into Darkness being moved up a day.
I can't wait for that. I did not hear it was moved up a day.
Oh, I did not hear it. That's because you don't know anything.
Okay. Take it easy.
When is it coming out now, Roland?
Now it's Thursday, May the 16th, instead of Friday, May the 17th.
And so it's a week from tomorrow.
We're
all right.
Stay a day early.
Important
That's
note. All right.
Fine. Okay. Why did they do that, Roland?
IMAX,
hate to ask.
IMAX is already sold out in New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Seattle, San Francisco, That's Houston, and Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So it's popular.
It's more than popular!
By the way,
Star Trek.
I did like the first one. That was fantastic.
What now?
Set phaser for a-hole.
Okay. I have to tell you, I know this is not going to be very popular with you, Roland, but when I see that commercial, I'm sure the movie's fine, but that commercial, they can't stay on something for more than 1 second at a time. That 30-second commercial has like 800 shots in it. What's that about?
That's because they're trying to show you as much action from an amazing film as they possibly can cram into a 30-second spot.
It looks great to me, Roland.
Yes! Kevin!
I'm on your side.
Yeah!
Buddy.
Let's get him! Get Kevin!
What?
Wait, why are we getting Kevin? I thought he was on your side.
I'm on your side with this
one.
Sorry,
friendly fire.
Okay, good.
Roland, do we do anything right? Do you ever like anything that you hear on the Kevin and Bean Show? And if not, why do you keep listening?
I haven't heard you talk about Shane Black, director of Iron Man 3, taking on Doc Savage.
I don't know what that is.
What is Doc Savage?
You don't know Doc Savage?
I'm sorry. I don't know what that is.
Stop.
Doc Savage is one of the world's first superheroes. Invented in the 1930s. He appeared in Pulp magazine.
Okay.
He had almost limitless skills. He was a surgeon, a scientist, an inventor, had super strength, was a master of disguise, and his skin was bronze.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
He had an office in the Empire State Building.
They just put everything into one character.
They started it. In the 30s, he was the first superhero.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Not Kevin!
Whatever. And now we're getting Kevin for real this time. Look, we are out of time.
What'd you do?
Our friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Actor, comedian Craig Robinson coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And, of course, your tickets for the Weenie Roast. I am a little nervous about what we're about to hear on the Kevin and Bean Show, although it's already been heard once and we all survived, so I'm sure we can survive it a second time. But yesterday was, in the history of this program, maybe the most disastrous start to a show ever. Right, guys?
I'd say hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down, the worst start we've ever had in our history.
Now, it's
and we've been here doing this show for 200 years.
Yes. There's a lot of factors that go into any kind of a disaster. There's certainly plenty of human error in what we're about to talk about, but there was also yesterday we also had some technical difficulties, and that is kind of inherent in the job. Anytime you have a job that uses computers or uses equipment, stuff's going to fail. And yesterday we just had the perfect storm of everything going wrong all the time. So how do you want to lay this out as we go through it and figure out what went wrong?
I'd like to play it through once.
Okay.
We are going to have to interrupt it a little bit, at least softly, so that our machinery doesn't think we're actually off the air, which it will, because it's the dead air is so long, all of our machines will freak out.
But then I think it'll be fun to kind of make it a Rashomon moment and go around the room and find out what everybody was thinking and doing at the time.
Right. All right. So this is yesterday morning. A song is fading. When the song fades out, Bean starts his intro. Every single day we do it the exact
same. 1, 2, 3, bad boy, all that stuff. All that comes right on.
And then he plays all that, and we come on, Bean does the story. We do it pretty much the same way. Well, this time the song faded, and we couldn't hear Bean, and Bean couldn't hear us, because Bean is doing it from his house in Seattle. And he has been for, I don't know, 13 years or something like that. But this was unbelievable, and I'm going to play it, and then we have to discuss exactly how it happened. This is the song fading.
This is where expecting something to be played, right?
It's in real time.
Yeah. This is going out over the air. This is what people heard yesterday.
Longer
what people heard.
Than I shot. Yeah.
This is a long time for somebody to not, I don't know, do something.
Oh, my God.
Real time.
Nothing happening.
All right, so then he started another song. Okay.
Good. Good move.
Good.
Beer Mug did the right thing.
It took 20 two seconds.
2 hours, but all right.
Started another song, and then what does Beer Mug do?
Right.
What do you think he does?
No, let's play.
Let the song go, I would imagine.
Fades it out.
Plays the whole song.
fades
no,
it
you
out.
Wouldn't. You wouldn't
what
do that.
What's happening?
No, no one would do that.
Would...
He fades it out, and then Bean.
Was that me saying what was happening?
The Bean, who has no idea what's going on, says,
"What the hell is happening?"
Okay, now then, there's dead space.
So we're back to dead air now. The song is gone. We're back to nothing.
More and silence. Then
starts it again.
That's for people who really like the intro.
Special request.
So that's what happened yesterday.
So we got it all sorted out at the end of that song. Then we just started over and went on with the program as normal, right?
Right. Now,
okay.
I'd like to point out that the guy running the controls at that moment was Beer Mug.
Mm-hmm.
And Beer Mug has a freeze factor. When something goes wrong... Certain people are able to focus more. Other people just, they're flooded with too much information and literally can't move a muscle.
Well, he's a good guy to have in a high-stress situation, then, I guess. He should be behind the board pushing the buttons. That's who we want, a guy who freezes.
So we're going to try and go through it and see what was happening. So here's the beginning. Of course, the song's faded. So that we don't hear any Bean. We don't hear the 1, 2, 3 bad boy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I can jump in from my perspective, everything is completely normal on my end at this point. I am playing the open of the show, and I am hearing it, and it sounds fine. As far as I know, we're off and running. Everything's great.
So I look at Beer Mugs, and he's just staring straight ahead. Not at anything in particular, just glassy-eyed, just like... Like, he might have stood there all day if I didn't...
You were in the studio at this point
I was in the studio
Let me
at this
tell
point.
You how this went.
Yes, Lisa.
Because when it began, it was just Beer Mug and I in the studio.
Right.
Beer Mug gave Bean the 20-second warning. The song ends. Nothing. We hear nothing. Beer Mug and right. I hear nothing. As Kevin casually walks into the studio. That's right. When Kevin walked in, he just strolls back and says, play something.
Well, I know. King of Mexico's in the other room on the intercom going, okay, dead air. Play something.
Right.
Beer Mug, play something.
Dave said that at least 3 times.
Yeah. At least 3 times.
So yeah. Then I sat down and I said, play something. Now, at this point, Beer Mug has not moved.
He's staring at the board very intently.
He's
now.
Had
sure a lot of lights on this board. A lot of buttons.
He's had 5 different admonishments to do something.
Yeah.
By the way, Kevin with admonishments.
Yeah,
thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Thank you. By the way, Kevin getting in at the beginning of the show open instead of at the end of the show open. Let's hear it for that. I mean, come on.
But
now.
I like his lack of panic. He just strolls
Kevin
and he's like,
is a guy
something.
Under fire who keeps his cool.
He does.
I'm absolutely.
Under fire. Yeah. He doesn't really sweat the details too much in those
nope.
situations.
Because he doesn't care about his job, though. That's why. That's the reason.
Except for the detail of not doing anything when there's nothing on the air.
There's no sound coming out.
You have to understand, for those of us that do this job, that is the worst thing that could possibly happen.
The
yeah.
thing
dead
you
air.
Can't have in radio.
You can't.
The one thing they tell you to never have in radio is dead air. Can't have that.
So, Dave, do something.
Okay, play something.
And then me play something, and then him still
there's
there.
There's so many options to play. I don't know what to play now.
So Muggs has done nothing. So finally, I yell at Muggs, play a song or something. Now I'm getting mad because it's been, I don't know, 15 seconds, and he hasn't moved. So Muggs finally decides to start looking for a song now, at that point. And he pulls up the Black Keys. And he starts playing that. And now Bean, who's completely confused, he doesn't know what's happening or what's on the air or what's not on the
Bean,
air.
Bean, do you hear the song come back again? Is that what
yes,
happened to you?
Yes, I hear the song, but I can't figure out why a song would be playing during the open. And I think... Here's what's going on my end is I'm playing some music and stuff for the intro on my computer, and I think, oh, I must have a website up that has a commercial that's playing.
Oh,
so I bring that audio down, figuring that the problem is on my end, but it's still going on. And I can't – because something like this has never happened before where sound is coming at me while I'm playing something to you.
Right.
Very confusing. So, it took me a long time to wrap around my head around this one.
And when that song started playing, the Black Keys,
yes.
then I did hear Beans.
Okay, so this is the next part.
Right.
So Muggs, after 20 seconds, starts playing the Black Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns Beans' microphone off, and then he hears audio coming from Beans'
yeah.
end. So he panics. He starts the song again. And he's still, like, trying to figure out what's going on. But now he hears something from Bean's end. So what does Beer Mug do? pops the song right out.
Once I made a decision, the best thing to do is go back on it.
So now that song, which he just started after 20 seconds, played
He's finally
for...
done the right thing.
Yes.
And then immediately nullifies it by doing the absolutely wrong thing.
And puts Bean, who has no idea what's going on the air, so that Bean can say...
The hell is happening.
Look, I... Beer Mug's
but then,
awful.
But then what's he do? What's Beer Mug do then?
Oh, well, there's... There's this.
There's that, right.
And then...
Start the song again. Let's try this again. Maybe I can pot it down a second time.
Beer Mug is the wrong man for this job. We all know that.
Yes.
But it was a very confusing minute, and I understand why he didn't know what to
but
do.
No, but once you pull the trigger and you start a song, don't you figure whatever's going to happen can happen after the song is over?
I would think that. It was only a very confusing minute because it should have been a very confusing 10 seconds. And then you add the Beer Mug factor, and now you've got a very confusing minute.
Ralph, you have so often said, Ralph, but it bears repeating. Why does anyone listen to this show?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I don't know, but thank you, everyone, and we'll try to keep up the excellence.
Jimmy Kimmel joins us after the top of the hour here on the World Famous K-Rock. Don't forget your chance at free Weenie Roast and Backstage Passes. Weenie Roast tickets and Backstage Passes coming up all morning long. We got more on that in a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
Heard your buddy Roland talking about this a little bit earlier. I don't know if people were tuned in or not, but good news for Star Trek fans. Trekkers, as they like to be known. Don't call them Trekkies.
Really? That's
they will hit you with their phasers.
They prefer Trekkers.
Trekkers is the problem.
If you call them Trekkies, that's offensive?
You will get a tribble right in the nuts.
Really?
Yep, that's what will happen to you. Paramount Pictures is so excited about the new film Star Trek Into Darkness, the second in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek franchise, that they've moved the release date up a day. Advanced ticket sales have been so huge that they've decided to bump up the release date. By 24 hours. If there's an IMAX theater near you and you plan to go see it there, you should buy your tickets now because IMAX says they're already sold out for the Friday showings in all of their major markets. New York, Los Angeles, Seattle, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Houston, and Washington, D.C. already sold out of the IMAX. So
what a burn for those geeks who bought tickets on what they thought was opening day and now...
Everybody's going to see it the day before.
Crappy.
That's awesome. First dayers. God, I hate freaking first dayers.
Why?
Because
they're the most excited.
Oh, I'm better than you because I saw it on the first day. So if I see it on Saturday somehow, it's not as good?
Watch your mouth.
Roland, well, you're not a true fan.
Roland will call right back in and yell at you, dude.
Madness. Who's going to be out for 6 months? Everybody just go when you want to go.
I want to go
you
Friday.
You don't win anything if you're there first. You don't get a prize.
So you hate Star Trek. That's what's going on here.
You're missing my point completely. Ray Harryhausen, we're talking about science fiction. Legendary special effects master passed away in London yesterday at the age of 92 years old. Pretty good run. Had tributes from some of the most famous names in the world of sci-fi and fantasy movies from around the world. George Lucas credited him with inspiring what would eventually become Star Wars. Peter Jackson did the same regarding the Lord of the Rings movies. James Cameron said if it wasn't for Ray's contribution, we wouldn't be who we are, he said about modern-day filmmakers. So a lot of people in Hollywood mourning the passing of Ray Harryhausen. And Denise Richards just keeps stepping up to the plate. I'll tell you, this is an impressive lady.
What, you mean for real?
Yeah, you can say what you want about her acting skills.
And we have.
Or her seemingly lack of charm.
And we have.
But she doesn't mind when it comes to taking care of babies. Yesterday, she took custody of Charlie Sheen and Brooke Mueller's twin boys. And now, she's the mom of three little girls herself.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But she took on Brooke Mueller's kids with Charlie Sheen because Mueller has been relieved of custody due to her drug dependency and erratic behavior. So the Department of Children and Family Services came by and awarded Denise, who volunteered, temporary custody of the kids.
Wow.
And the Department of Children and Family Services has been by several times to check on Bob and Max and said they're being loved and cared for. And she has said that they're welcome to stay with her for as long as she is needed. So
I hate to ask this question, Ralph, but don't they have a father?
Yeah, who gets Charlie?
Well,
why aren't they living with their dad?
They have a Charlie Sheen. They don't really have a father.
Because in a situation where you have two parents and one of them is deemed unstable, don't the kids usually go to the other parent?
Yeah, unless that other parent is Charlie
Sheen. Charlie Sheen. Again, the Charlie Sheen exception.
Yeah. But that's pretty cool of her to raise somebody else's kids with
really is.
That her ex-husband
yes.
agreed.
Had with how another woman. How many people have that kind of a relationship with their ex?
Yeah, not many.
Duh.
It's an odd blended family. And Kim Kardashian was finally welcomed to the Met Ball, the legendary fashion event, the Met Ball, by Vogue editor Anna Vinter.
Wait, didn't you do the story where she was being denied?
That was last year.
Last year, okay.
And this year they were wondering if Kanye would be able to pull enough strings to finally get his lady invited, and apparently he did. However, Vogue editor Anna Vinter said that she would only allow Kim to come to the event if she came dressed as an ottoman from the lobby of a Best Western airport hotel.
Done.
Which she did.
Which she did. And actually, I think Anna got the last laugh. Yes, darling, you can come, but you have to wear these drapes. See those pictures of her at that event? It's nuts. It's the least flattering dress anyone has ever worn.
Look, who are we to comment on clothing? But come on.
I don't know anything about fashion, but I know it looks like ass.
Kim must hate being pregnant and fat, right? She must hate it.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Because that's her whole thing, is look at me.
Yeah, right. This will never happen again.
There'll be no more children.
No.
Unless she hires it. Unless she outsources the project.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Don Rickles, legendary comedian, 87 years old today. Still funny. I know, it's nuts. Comedy is usually a young man's game, and the older someone gets, the less funny they get. Don Rickles, still funny.
Kevin, you have to hate Don Rickles being 87 and still alive, right?
I don't hate him, but I've never seen him be funny, so I don't have any thoughts
You've
on
never
it.
Seen Don Rickles be funny.
I just don't.
On talk
You've never
shows,
even seen
nothing?
Him, like, yeah, on Kimmel and Maybe. Stuff? He kills.
I don't know. I mean, I can't point to anything, no.
Why does Kevin hate?
I don't hate.
Don Rickles.
Just ignorant.
Can I have that piece of tape for later, please?
Yes.
L.A. Lakers head coach Mike D'Antoni is 61 years
former
old.
Former head coach, though, right, guys? You're
interim.
With him.
I think we're calling now he's still the coach.
I think we call him the interim coach.
All right. Alex Van Halen of Van Halen turned 60. Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie is 49
Is she
years
half
old.
Pint, Ralph?
She was half pint, yes.
Half pint, okay.
Dave Roundtree of Blur is 49 years old. And L.A. Dodgers first baseman Adrian Gonzalez celebrates his 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Actress Claire Bowen, one of the stars of Nashville, joins us on the program later on today. And our friend Craig Robinson from The Office and the new film People's coming up next hour. Plus your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. Kevin, I know you're like me. You probably don't read Time Magazine all that much.
I do not.
But they put out an interesting list. I'm curious what the criteria was because it's the most influential people in the world.
In the world?
This is the most, it's not the most famous people, not the most successful people, the most influential people in the world. And there are some names on there you might expect. Jay-Z is on there, LeBron James, Barack Obama, Pope Francis, gotta have Pope Francis, right?
Sure.
Steven Spielberg, Kate Middleton, Daniel Day-Lewis. And then there's one name that really jumps out at you, and that is Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel, one of the 100 most influential people in the world. What's happening to the world?
The world is dipping down to our level, finally.
I guess so.
Hey, James.
How?
I'm deflating the world.
How? Why? What? What happened?
Well, it all started when I was born.
I mean, let's be honest. You're
talented and you're popular.
We
but are you
be happier for your success?
Of course,
right?
You know that.
I don't think you guys realize how many strings I'm pulling behind the scenes.
But times...
I'm pulling strings like crazy.
Most influential people in the world. You made the top 100.
Yeah, I mean, it's just this world, though. It's not like... It's, I mean, they're not considering life on other planets or the whole universe.
That's
it's
true.
Just this world.
That's true.
Now, did they... I'll confess, I did not read the article. I just looked at the list. Did they give you any type of idea of what their criteria was? How did they select you?
They just... I think they measure my electromagnetic energy.
Is that it?
And,
I see.
And they felt that it was very, very high.
Now, do they rank you? Did they give you your number 67 or your number 8?
No, they don't rank you, but I'm definitely in, like, at least the top 14. I mean, there's, like, the women who cured a baby of HIV are on the list, so I got to be ahead of them.
Right. Because you're providing entertainment to the world.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They have a baby. Everyone has a baby.
Right. Anyone can do that. Not everyone can host a show.
Right.
Exactly.
So you're still doing that show. That's still on TV, right? How's that going?
And who knows? That baby could grow up to be a real jerk, you know?
That's true. Could be an actual negative.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy's still doing the show, and I wanted to ask him about one thing, and that is, when did this list come out, the Time Influential? Was it last week?
You guys are about 3 weeks late.
Three weeks, okay.
Yeah, that's why you're not on the list.
Jimmy, I saw, I don't think it was two nights ago. I think it was three nights ago. I'm not positive. You can help me out here, Jim, but... Here's what I like about Jimmy. He's named to the most influential people in the world list. And then he does a bit where he interviews kids on the street and he has his audience guess as to whether they eat their boogers or not.
Yeah.
Is that two nights ago?
Yeah, well, what you also don't realize is my influence is so vast that I'm actually willing them to eat their boogers. Because it's funnier that way.
So they start the interview and they ask the kid if he eats his boogers, and then they stop the tape, and then Jimmy goes to the... I want everybody to fully understand this. Jimmy goes to his audience and says, what do you guys think? And they all like, yay or nay, and then they go back to the kid and find out if it's true or not.
Well, my next area of influence is not going to be very difficult. It's convincing Kevin that Don Rickles is funny, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Thank you. I didn't say he's not funny.
He said he was ignorant.
I just said I've never heard him be funny. That's all.
Well, all right. Well, you got to listen to him.
Okay. I don't have to.
You don't have to, but it's not like it's gonna ruin your day.
Look, I consider you one of my best friends. You're not very influential.
Obviously, I can't even convince you of that.
I have a question of something I wanted to bring up about your show, too, Jim, because
you presented to me.
Thank you. You had the great Rod Stewart on the other day.
Yes.
And you guys spent a fair chunk of late-night real estate time there on ABC talking about your mutual love of drawing penises on everything.
Yes, I remember that. I do recall that.
And Rod Stewart does the same thing you do, draws penises, although he says he's cut down on it. He doesn't do it very much anymore. You still are obsessed with it, right?
Well, I wouldn't say obsessed, but if I see something blank, I will fill it in.
That's obsessed, I'd say.
Have you ever asked, because I don't know the answer to this, have you ever run that by Dr. Drew to ask why somebody does that? Because our friend Mike Catherwood, same way. Kevin had to ban him from drawing penises on all of the paperwork in the studio because he would do nothing else if he was left unchecked. Why do you do that?
Well, first of all, that's a rude thing to do, Mike, number one. why do I do that?
What do you think the reason is?
Infantilism. Infantilism, how do you pronounce it? But... I don't know. It seems to be a family trait because my father does it, and I do it, and now my son does it.
You were very proud of your son.
Well, it's, you know, I tell you what, if you have a blank pad and you're going through the pages and, you know, maybe you're taking notes on something serious, and then all of a sudden a giant penis pops up, it's delightful.
I don't know that delightful is the word I would go with. But by the way, the other thing, and this is fascinating, the other thing that he talked to Rod Stewart about is his kids. Rod Stewart has a 2-year-old and a 50-year-old.
Isn't that ridiculous?
He has
a 50-year-old son and a 2-year-old son.
50-year-old daughter, I think.
Daughter, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, his daughter is actually too old for him to date.
That's right. That's amazing.
Oh, that was fascinating to me. I'm surprised you didn't try to pin him down more, but he seemed a little uncomfortable by
that. Well, I'm so drunk with power and influence right now.
That's right.
I worry that just talking about it will impregnate another woman.
Well, I know we're almost out of time here with our friend Jimmy Kimmel on Time Magazine 100 Most Influential People, but if you've been happy with 11:30, it seems like the show is doing gangbusters. You've got tons of viewers. You happy with the way it's going, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the Illuminati now. How could I not be?
That's
happy?
True.
Sure.
I didn't think about that.
Great guest again tonight, including Zoe Saldana from the Star Trek movie. Also, your friend Bill Simmons, the sports guy, is going to be there. And Fit Fits and the Tantrums are going to be performing on the program tonight. That's Jimmy Kimmel, and that's going to be tonight at 11:35 on ABC. All right, Mr. Influence, thank you so much for coming on today. We appreciate your time, sir.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling. I'm going to put in a word with the cosmos for you.
All right. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, man.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in here today on a Wednesday. You're about an hour away from your first chance for the day to win tickets for the sold-out Hero Queenie Rose 2013, so stick around for that. Craig Robinson is going to be joining us from the office, too. One of the great joys of where I live, Kevin, is I don't have any neighbors,
yeah,
which is spectacular. I can't hear or see another human from where I live, which is the way to go. And that certainly has not always been the case in my life, and it's not the case for a lot of people. And sometimes you live a little too close for comfort because sometimes there's troubles with the neighbors.
Yeah, I've had troubles with neighbors on both sides of my house.
Well, you're fun to live with.
No, it was all them.
I'm sure.
Don't get me wrong.
No, it was totally them. It was all them.
But Ralph brought us a story last week that we want to spend a little time with because, A, it's an awesome story because of the age of the people involved, but, B, because it's going to bring up a phone topic that I don't know that we've ever done before, and that's people who have had crazy disputes with their neighbors, things that the neighbors have done that have driven them crazy, that it drives you sometimes to revenge. And that's what this story is about. It's out of Sweden. There's an elderly couple. It doesn't say how old they are, but they are retired. It says they're septuagenarians, so that means they're in their 70s at least, right?
Yeah.
They're complaining that their neighbors are making a whistling sound, and it's keeping them up at night. There's a whistling sound coming from their neighbor's house.
What sense does that? What do you mean, a whistling sound?
That's what I don't know.
What?
I wish we had found out more what the whistling sound was about. And it sounds like the way this article is written, and it's translated into English from the Stockholm Aftonblad newspaper, but it sounds like they're the kinds of neighbors that have walls that are common walls.
Okay. Super thin, and you can hear everything?
Yes. So whistling happening. So the neighbors are, the elderly neighbors are upset about that, and they can't get any kind of relief, and they're having trouble sleeping. The woman says she had to take sleeping pills in order to overcome the noise. So they decided they were going to get some sweet, sweet revenge, give them a taste of their own medicine. So they put a speaker system on the balcony of their house upstairs, and then they put another speaker against the wall that they shared with their neighbors downstairs and started blasting this from Iron Maiden.
I love any 70-year-old or above couple that will use this music in any kind of dispute.
But doesn't that seem like overkill? A whistling sound to that?
They put it on, they turned it up, and they kept it going until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Love it.
The police arrived and obviously made them shut it down. It doesn't say in this article how the dispute ended up. Like, what happened? Did they get some relief from the whistling in exchange for not playing Iron Maiden? It's going to be a little bit frosty when those guys are out there checking their mail in the morning now.
I was thinking that whistling sound is like, I don't know, an iron lung or something, and they're just going to feel like the worst human beings ever.
We can't help it. It happens when we breathe. That's so bizarre, though, and I love the fact that they put speakers upstairs and downstairs. This 70-year-old, 80-year-old couple was angry.
Yeah, they went after it.
Yeah, because they weren't enjoying it either. Let's face it. They were doing it to make the neighbors miserable, but there's no way they liked hearing that music. So we want to take your calls on neighbor disputes. What were the neighbors doing that was driving you crazy? There's so many different things that can happen, by the way. I mean, look, think of the fights that have broken out. People have gotten shot because somebody cut a tree, you know, that was part on one side of the property line and part on the other. I mean, there's so many things that you kind of just have to work hard to live harmoniously when you're living so close to somebody.
That was one of my problems. Is the neighbors had a tree that was about 90% over the fence on our property. So we would park our car out there or something, and it would just get covered with leaves and everything else. And so we said, look, we want to trim the tree. We went to them and asked, and they said,
pay for it.
It's our tree. And I said, yeah, but it's over our property. Don't care.
So the trunk of the tree was on their side, yes, but all the branches leaned over onto your side. So you got the brunt of the leaves. I see. Yeah.
What happened?
So what happened?
We just trimmed. We just said, F you, we're trimming.
And what did they do, or what could they do?
They really didn't do anything. I mean, they only argued until we trimmed, and then, like, what could, I don't know, I guess they could have sued us.
I don't think so. It's on your property. It's over the property line.
I don't know.
Interesting. Well, let's take one call before the break, and then we'll come back with more. Daniel joins us now. He's on line two here on The Kevin DeBean Show. Daniel, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to The Kevin DeBean Show. What happened with your neighbors?
So I was in college at the time, and we had a walkway. And there was only one way to get through the walkway, and our neighbor was adamant about us not going through this walkway, which was the only way that we can get through.
So and wait a minute. You and your neighbor shared the exact same walkway, and they said don't use it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
what did they want you to do instead?
Could you see in their house or something when you used it?
Not really. Huh. There was curtains and stuff.
All right.
But long story short, he was a drunk, and one day, he got super wasted, and he tried to basically stab one of my roommates with a steak.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it was pretty crazy, and my buddy actually ended up knocking him in the face, knocking him out, and we called the cops, and he got arrested.
What did they want you to do if the only way into your place was using this walkway? Like, what was your alternative?
Yeah, they actually had, we actually had called the cops before on him because he was getting drunk and stupid with us, and they said, you know what, like, this is the only way you can get in, so, you know.
Oh, so the police explained to this drunk that you're allowed to use the walkway.
Yeah, exactly.
And it made no difference. Wow.
Well,
no.
You're not having fun in the neighborhood till someone almost gets stabbed, man. Thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your disputes with your neighbors. We can't wait to hear about them next on The Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Talking about neighborly disputes here on The Kevin DeBean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Great story out of Sweden where an elderly couple complained that they were hearing whistling from their neighbors, so they cranked up some Iron Maiden as loud as possible on outdoor speakers directed at their neighbor's house until 4 o'clock in the morning. That's revenge right there. So we're taking your calls. What happened with you and your neighbors at 1-800-520-1067? Let's go to David, by the way, because David apparently did seek revenge on his neighbors. Let's find out why. Hey, David.
Morning, everybody. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What was the problem with the neighbor?
So they would throw parties every weekend till like 2, 3 in the morning, and okay, horrible hype men making noise all night long.
Ugh, be the worst.
Give yourselves a hand, everybody! By the way, could that disappear from the English language? I don't want to give myself a hand. I don't deserve it.
I could do without everybody say hey, everybody say ho at this point as well. All right, so they're throwing loud parties. You, at some point, I imagine you talked to them and tried to handle it civilly, right? But got no response.
Yep, no response. Even called the cops on them, trying to shut them down regularly. They kept doing it.
What'd you do?
So I've got dogs. Filled the garbage can with a bunch of dog poop. Left the lid open. Let the rain fill it up and made poop soup.
Oh, and did they
park it right against the fence where they had the parties?
Oh,
that's
no!
What the party smelled like.
So, oh, wow. So it would like close down their parties because it smelled bad.
Sometimes,
not always. All right,
yeah. They probably just partied on and were mad at you, I guess.
Yeah.
Poop soup is like the sequel to building a mountain earlier on the Kevin DeBean Show. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's get into lawsuit territory. Let's go to Rachel. Rachel's on line four. This goes beyond just having a word over the fence when it starts getting into court. Hey, Rachel, what happened?
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
What's the problem with the neighbor?
Well, I live on a property that was developed into three houses. It's been there since like the early 80s. And We've always had issues with our neighbors, and they did some research and discovered that where our fence stood was on their property by 3 inches. Just 3 inches.
But your fence was technically on their property by 3 inches.
On, like, our fence. But they still had their fence up that was probably, like, 8 inches onto their property.
Okay. So what'd they do?
So they went ahead and sued my family for... they tried to sue us and ended up forcing my dad to tear the entire fence down and move it back onto our property by 3 inches, but they never moved where their fence was.
What?
Yes. And what possible difference could that 3 inches have made?
Absolutely nothing, because they never even moved their fence. They just made us move ours.
It's just people with too much time on their hands that have no real problems. So they invent them. They invent their 3-inch problem. Thank you. Which is what Beer Mug has, by the way, as well.
He's got a 3-inch problem, too.
That's right.
Rachel, thank you very much for the call. By the way, shame on us. Kevin and Bean Lister, Patrick writes in. It says, Bean, what are you talking about? No disputes with the neighbors. What about the rooster?
What about
That's
the rooster?
Right. I will just mention that briefly for people who were not with the show back then, but I did have a problem with a neighbor. I couldn't see them, but I could certainly hear their rooster, who crows not just charmingly at the break of day, but 24/7. That's the thing about roosters, is they crow all the time, all day, all night. And I went over to the neighbor and I said, look, no one loves animals more than I do, but this rooster is killing me. I mean, I have to keep all the windows all closed up because of the noise and everything. I can't sleep. It's terrible. Is there any way, can you move the rooster further back or do something, or, I don't know, keep him inside, anything. Help me.
Let me just butt in for 1 second. Bean is the kind of guy who will name an ant and let him go.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So they said, sure, no problem. We'll take care of it. And sure enough, they took care of it. They chopped that rooster's head off.
And Bean's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
That's not what I want. I would have lived the rest of my life in misery with that rooster crowing rather than have you killed this poor rooster. But they were like, well, you asked us to take care of it. We took care of it. I never felt worse about getting what I asked for in my life.
Oh, my God.
So that was my first and worst ever neighbor dispute. Let's go to Nicole on line 8. She took matters into her own hands with her problem, too. Hi, Nicole. Thank you so much for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
What happened with your neighbor?
So there's these air ventricles on the roof of houses. I don't know what they're called, but this guy's ventricles, they weren't lubed, so they would make the most god-awful screeching sound.
Okay.
Over the course of 4 years, I had spoken to him. I had written him nice letters. Hey, would you like me to come put some WD-40 on him? I'll do him no problem. Well, he didn't do them, and the past Santa Ana's that came, crazy winds, crazy screeching, could not sleep. So the very next morning after those crazy winds, I went over there with a wine bottle, pounded on his door with the end of it, and I made all these indents in the door. And he came out. We had a huge argument over there where I screamed at him and told him I can't get any sleep. It's been 4 years. He told me to get off his property. I threw the wine bottle at his house, shattered it. And the next thing I know, cops are here. Neighbors are out in the front yard explaining what's going on. But I could not sleep.
Did you get arrested?
No, I didn't. He didn't press charges, even though the cop said I could have been charged with assault with a deadly weapon, even though
right.
I threw the bomb at
assaulted his house. Did it make any difference once you showed how upset you were? In other words, did he then fix the squeak?
Absolutely not, but I was fortunate. He moved out. His house foreclosed only a month after that.
Oh, thank God.
So wow. you got the sweet revenge at the end then.
That's nice.
And then the new people that got the house, I told them about the air vent things, and they fixed them, and this past week where it was windy, nothing happened.
Did you tell them about the smashed wine bottle as well? Just so they knew what they were in for?
They don't know those indents on their door from me.
Don't cross me. I will show you. That's awesome, Nicole. Thank you very much for the call.
It occurs to me that Lisa may have not heard Bean's tour de force moment with.
I have not. I heard about it.
She was on vacation.
But I have not heard it.
Sure. When the moment with happened. This is Bean, and maybe easily top 10 end of the year.
Wow.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Tratt and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
This is like... Matt and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
Oh, Bean.
I know.
Took such glee in that, too. He's like, no, let's call them May and Tratt from now on.
How are you going to humiliate me like that with the great Craig Robinson in the next room getting ready to come in? Come on.
Please.
You deserve it.
Just saying. All right. The Kevin and Bean Show rolls on with Craig coming in, talking about his new film, Peoples, in the Office finale, which happens next week. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
It's a rumor that Steve Carell comes back for a little something-something.
I've heard that rumor.
He said he wasn't going to, and then they reported that there was a little something-something.
Do we know anything about that?
Just a little something-something.
Right, we'll find out. You know how we get to the bottom of things
with our
guests.
Oh, yeah. I think Craig will be powerless in front of your powers of persuasion. I'm sure he'll spill all the beans.
We'll figure out a way to ask a question that'll get it in.
Yeah. I was bummed because Craig was the host of that Fox Shortcoms thing that I did with Kevin Smith.
Oh, right.
And he was great on it. He was really awesome.
He's great on everything.
Anyone will ever get a chance to see that show now. I don't believe it's going to be coming to a TV near you. So it's bad
stuff. That's too bad. Yeah.
Could they bring it to a TV near us if they just cut you out of it, Ralph? Would it then be salvageable? Or
Wow. Ouch.
How are you going to come at him like that?
A little bit of a slam,
just
I think.
Just for that, we're going to play the moment with again.
All right, good.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May, rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin? Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this is like
Matt and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
Oh, Kevin, help me, Kevin. Kevin, help me.
Says the guy who made up the rule never helped Kevin.
He's done nothing but push you down into the quicksand with a stick every time you've been in the jungle. But now he's like, oh, I'm in the quicksand. Help me, buddy. Oh, won't you throw me a rope?
Douchebag. I deserve every bit of this.
Douchebag. Farrah Abram.
Who?
Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abramson.
Farrah Abramson, I'm sorry. Teen mom. She is evil.
Why now?
Well, she lied about the making the video and everything else, and she's despicable, and she's entitled, and she's a hideous person.
Right.
But America wants to see her get boned. That's the one thing we learned yesterday. Vivid Entertainment posted the new video, Backdoor Teen Mom, on their website yesterday. The downloads, I believe, were $4.99, something like that, around $5. And they broke the internet. Crashed the site. 2 million people logged on in just 12 hours to try to get that that video available.
Did 2 million people log off?
Hey! Seriously, though. I'll be here all week! I don't even get it. I don't even understand it.
That was quite the commitment.
I don't even get the point. Is that a euphemism? For
I think that was the point. It was supposed to be a euphemism.
Come on, Ralph. It's a sex tape.
Hey, I don't know the prices, but is $4.99 considered cheap?
I don't know anything about buying porn. I haven't bought porn in years.
I don't either. That's why I'm asking.
I just go to the free sites and take care of my business. I don't know what it's like to download porn for money anymore.
All right.
So I don't know. 2 million people in 12 hours. The previous record, for Vivid at least, was 6,000 downloads for Kim Kardashian and Ray J's video in 12 hours.
600,000, I think.
I'm sorry, 600,000, yeah. So, obviously, crushing the previous record.
Wow, that's crazy.
But, so people wanted to see her get horked. And
they do.
And they do, and she did.
Kevin, did you log off yesterday?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah! Does he make sense?
I tweeted, what was she doing giving up the sphincter in the first film? I said, Farrah, I tweeted her, you got to save something for the sequel, baby.
There you go.
That's a rookie mistake right there. How's she going to up the ante in two?
That's a good question.
You're supposed to start with Solo and then move up to girls and then boys and then blood. That's how it works.
Bean everybody knows that. The porn industry. He knows how it works. That was his career trajectory.
Right. Yeah. But was last.
We're talking about porn and the people involved therein. Joe Francis, scumbag behind Girls Gone Wild.
Yes.
He's got more legal problems. Yesterday here in Los Angeles, he was found guilty of assault, 3 counts of false imprisonment, and 1 count of dissuading a witness from reporting.
What did he do?
He could face 5 years in jail for these charges.
He's already been in jail, right?
Yeah, and rightfully so. And so maybe he's going back, we hope. What happened was he refused to let 3 ladies leave his Hollywood home back in 2011. Wouldn't allow them to leave, which gives me all sorts of creepy connotations about what was going on.
That's ugly.
But they reported to the police, and the judge found him guilty, and now he is due to be sentenced today. So we'll find out today exactly what he is facing. But I would like him to do a little time and see what it's like when a sexual predator won't let you leave a prison cell, chasing you around. Next thing you know, it's boys gone wild. Butts gone wild. I'm just saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Adrian Gonzalez is 31 years old today. He's your Dodgers first baseman. Enrique Iglesias is 38. Dave Rountree of Blur turns 49 years old, as does actress Melissa Gilbert. She was Little House on the Prairie. What was that character's name?
Half Pipe.
She was Half Pipe.
Half Pipe, but was Laura Ingalls, right?
Laura
Ingalls?
Laura, I think?
Laura.
I could be wrong about that. Didn't she grow up to become the president of the Screen Actors Guild as well, Ralph?
That's going to be my next fact to hear on the
sheet,
was that she was going to be...
I heard she was the president of the Screen Actors Guild. Is that true?
What's going on down the end of the table there? That's what I would like to know.
I'm
going to
log off right now.
Alex Van Halen of Van Halen. He is the drummer brother. He is 60 years old today. L.A. Lakers coach Mike D'Antoni is 62 years old.
Former.
He's still the coach, as far as I know. Have you heard otherwise?
Not yet.
Not technically.
Any minute now.
You think Phil's coming back?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Think one hip is going to come back? You think he's going to?
No, one hip's going to make it or not. But
Weren't the Nets trying to get Phil yesterday? Wasn't that happening for a minute
there? He slapped them down.
He said, no way.
Yeah. And comedian Don Rickles turns 87 years old today. A legend. Very, very funny, man.
Very funny.
Yeah.
No one better.
Sure, now you're on board. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, a week from tomorrow night, we say goodbye to The Office on NBC. When's the spinoff for Craig Robinson going to happen?
That's all I want to know about.
It's Craig. Exactly. It's Daryl is what they would call that. Hi, Craig. Welcome back to the Kevin DeBeach Show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you very, very much. It's good to be back. I'm doing great.
You are so busy. You got a lot of projects that we can't wait to talk about. But let's go ahead and start with The Office since I got us into that. You're done now. You've got to be a few weeks behind filming that last episode, right?
Yes. I think we're about six or 7 weeks now.
How's it feel?
It's, it's very interesting because we usually would have ended this time, right? And so we had the hiatus. So we go back in end of July. So I don't know if I've dealt with it yet.
When it gets to the end of July, you're going to go, well, I'm supposed to be doing something else.
I'm not at the office. but I'll tell you what, they did such an amazing job ushering us out, with so much class. Greg Daniels made sure we went out at the top and we just had a big, gigantic rap party in Scranton. They threw us a parade. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
You went to the real Scranton, Pennsylvania, where the show is set.
This past Saturday, the cast went down to Scranton, Pennsylvania. Yes,
and hilarious.
We were presented with the key to the city.
Yeah, so well, you put them on the map.
Well,
yes,
that's what they say. Yeah.
How popular? Do you ever see breakout ratings? I know they do them from city to city. How popular was The Office in Scranton? Do you know?
I do not know. That would be an awesome a chart to check up on.
I thought that you guys were able to have quite a bit of input as to what happened to your characters.
Zero for me.
No, really?
I mean, I bet you those other cats, but I wasn't in the writer's room. I was like, hey, Daryl should do this. It's funny. They asked me the very last episode, how do you want to see Daryl? And I'm like, I don't know. Y'all been writing it all this time.
Just keep writing.
Yeah. But
hail of bullets, man. Come on.
We got to improv, but, it was, I never, it was a surprise to me all the time, going in to read the table, do the table read. And it was like, okay, all right, I see where he's going with this.
Was it good to work with Steve again?
Well, I haven't worked with Steve since then.
Nice try, Kevin.
Since he went to Colorado, I think it was. But
so how much is Steve Carell in the finale?
He came to the Scranton rap party. He showed up.
Straight from shooting? How'd that work?
That was so great.
Now, Craig, I understand that you've had this job for 9 seasons. You've been doing The Office, and it's sad to see that go. Of course, you're busy. You've got plenty of other things to do. But I imagine that the hardest part for you as a human is some of these people you've become friends with, right? Or you got to not be working with a lot of people you really like now, I guess.
Absolutely. I'm gonna miss everybody over there.
Who was the best?
And who was
the worst?
And the crew especially, man. It was a lot of good people, man. And I'm really cool with Kate and Ellie and Phyllis and Leslie and
they're all funny.
Krasinski,
so pretty much everybody.
I'm about to go down a whole list.
we had Creed on here the other day. He's crazy for reals, right?
In real life, yes.
Creed. In real life, he's insane.
Certifiably crazy.
Bean told me that before we talked to him, and I was like, yeah, I don't know. People act crazier. They act unique or they act weird. He isn't acting.
No. Creed is, a musician from back in the day, the grassroots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he's got some stories.
Yes, he does.
His hitchhiking across Africa stories alone will just make your head spin. It's just insane. What has been, I know we're going to move on to your other movies and everything else you got going on, Craig, and we want to talk about your music too, but what are you going to remember most about your years on The Office, do you think? Are there any particular days or scenes or episodes or experiences that you had that you're just so grateful for?
The bloopers, man. Those just messing up and everybody cracks up was such, and the people who are doing it, just being entertained by these people, it was so bonding, so so beautiful. I'm gonna miss that. You know, that's what I'm gonna take away most. Like I was looking at, I was in editing the other day, and it. I mean, I got a little choked up, but not much, but just a little.
Did you cry?
Yes, but, but it was just like watching. I was watching the bloopers from Rain doing his karate shtick.
I got to tell you, I saw some of these DVDs of the early Office season, and the bloopers are almost all Rain. Because he has the most bizarre stuff to say.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just one after another. It's rain.
Yeah. As it went on, you know, I mean, yeah, he's got the lion's share for sure. But yeah. As it went on, you know, everybody, you know, they spread the ball around and of course he's going to get more bloopers because he does have, you know, the lion's share of things to say.
Did anyone ever get mad at somebody for messing up too much?
Just myself. Because
they got mad at you, or you got mad at yourself?
No, I got mad at myself. Okay. Because I'm like, no, you're better than that, son.
You call yourself son?
I call myself son.
The Office airs tomorrow night on NBC, and then the finale, the series finale, is going to be on next Thursday night, and it's going to be an hour and 15 minutes long, which is an unusual time. But they shot too much cool stuff to put it in an hour, right?
Yeah, it was like a 90 page script. It was crazy.
So it's all new. It's not a retrospective type thing, or
all new.
All new. All right.
However, Kevin, before the hour and 15 minute Office finale is an hour long retrospective show. They're going to air that as well. So it's going to be a whole evening in prime time of The Office. So.
No, see, I did not know that.
Yes, they're doing them both. Mr. Robinson is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about his new film called Peoples, in which he co-stars with one of our favorite people in the whole world, David Alan Grier. We'll talk about that. Got a bunch of other stuff coming up later this year we'll get to as well when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our friend, actor, comedian Craig Robinson in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you know him as Daryl on The Office and the dude from the Hot Tub Time Machine, which we'll talk about in a minute here. But you got a new film coming out this Friday called Peoples. You're in it. Kerry Washington, the great Diane Carroll is in it. David Alan Grier. Please tell me this is not a Tyler Perry movie, though.
This is exactly a Tyler Perry movie.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
What he meant is...
And I was so close to going to see it, too.
Tyler
what
Perry
happened?
Movie.
Did
he write it?
No. No, he did not write it, nor did he direct it. He's producing this. He is expanding his brand and using his power to shine light on, you know, on us as a coming up, my first leading man, Tina Gordon Chisholm, first time director. She wrote ATL, she wrote Drumline, but Tyler's using his light to shine on us.
All right,
we can be more honored and humbled.
He's far enough removed from the project; it could still be good. Then
it's a great project, and Tyler Perry is a great artist.
That's what I meant to say.
Some people are split on him, man.
I have not split on him.
I think you got to recognize, you know, because you're not going to strike the chord that he makes strikes with people without, you know, having some greatness in there.
Of course. And here's what I like about me is that I have this opinion about Tyler Perry having never seen a single one of his movies. That's why I'm uniquely qualified to talk about I don't like him.
Well, there you go.
Nice work. This movie looks hilarious, though. As you said, it's the first time you've been a leading man. Tell folks what the plot is, because I think it's very funny.
I've been reading some reviews, and they keep saying it's
don't read
it's like Meet the Parents. So I almost said, did you see Meet the Parents? It's that, but no, it's Wade Walker is who I play. He is a what did I do? He is a he is a non-certified children's musical therapist.
Okay? Non-certified.
Non-certified. So yes, so he's a counselor with a K, but he. He teaches children to like deal with their problems through music, like stuff like, you know, Express Yourself. He has a song he starts the movie with called Speak It, Don't Leak It. And
and it's get to sing a lot and perform a lot?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a bunch of musical numbers. And so that song is Speak It, Don't Leak It is about, you know, express your problems, express, you know, what you're going through as opposed to peeing in the yourself. Pool. Exactly.
Sorry.
And he's in love with his girl, and Kerry Washington. And
who isn't in love with Kerry Washington, thank you, by the way?
That, no, come on. Kidding. Hey, man, you know, that's what I've been saying. It's, it was easy to fall in love with her.
Yeah, she's
on
practically
screen.
The hottest woman in the world right now.
She is amazing. She's ultimate woman. She's gorgeous. She's brilliant. She's funny. She's naturally funny, you know. And she speaks different languages. She can dance. She,
all right,
she can talk to
easy.
Anybody at any level. Yeah, she's off the hook,
she's
man.
She's everything.
And just to meet her is to love her. So so he's ready to propose to her. And then she won't introduce him to her family because of her father.
Uh-oh.
Judge Virgil Peoples, played by the incomparable David Alan Greer.
Jag's the best.
Man, he is the funniest dude on the planet, man, for real.
And by the way, and I agree with that, and we've been having him on this show for many, many years, and he can, the look that he gives you in the trailer is a look that I've seen him give us too many times, which is, I am so disappointed in you right now. And it's hard to come out from under that.
The man is magic. And, you know, I've been a fan for a long time, so to go toe-to-toe with him, I had to really, you know, kick out the fan and just be Wade in the scene with Virgil. And
this sounds like the perfect kind of movie, you know, for you, like you said, to make that transition to being a leading man, because it sounds like it plays to all your strengths, which is lots of very funny situations and also improv stuff and also music stuff. I mean, it sounds like this is right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, they created Tina altered the script so Wade could be a musician.
Is that right?
Or she saw, you know, once I got attached. Yeah. So it was, she made it, you know, easy for me.
Made the music custom for you.
Yeah, and right. Stephen Bray wrote the music. He's some hip-hop in there, some disco 70s stuff in there, and, you know, some contemporary stuff. And Stephen Bray, he's worked with Madonna and you know, all the greats. So
totally, yeah. Well, the movie is called Peoples. Peoples is the name of the film that comes out everywhere on this Friday. And you just told us off-air that you're getting ready to fly back to New Orleans, where you just left, because you're going to start work on Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Hot Tub 2.
Which yes, sir. Is, you got to be so excited about. No one expected that one would be as big a hit as it was, right?
Yes, no one, including the cast. And
I mean, that was a huge hit.
It did really good on like video and stuff.
Right.
It did nice in the theaters.
I thought that was a huge hit in the theater too. No,
it came out. It did good.
But then it just took off as well.
But home video and all that, it came back. So it's usually the best thing
on cable. By the way, when you're flipping around, and you hey, Hot Tub Time Machine, I'll watch that. You know,
wherever you are in it, you just continue with it.
I just hope that this. You know, I have this not hope. I have this imagination that. Somebody's like crying, and then their friends say, "Hey, come here. Let's open this bottle of wine, and we're gonna watch Hot Tub Time Machine, and it's gonna be all right." I just feel like it's that kind of movie to make you just feel better.
You were in the hot tub with Jessica Perret, who of course is now Megan Draper on Mad Men.
Shout out to Jessica Perret.
Come on. Hey. You're the most envied man in America, Craig. I got to tell you. That scene is burned into my brain forever.
Your God brain. You. Are you kidding?
Only I've replaced you with myself in my mind. Right. Mind.
Okay. I want to know how many hours you screwed up your lines to keep that scene going so you could keep filming.
That was, you know... I keep it very professional, sir.
Liar. You tried to keep it professional is what you mean.
Nick Weber he enjoyed his time with her. But no, actually, he didn't. He was crying, if you recall. Because
he was crying. Yeah, he couldn't look at another woman. Right.
Yeah, he's caught up with his wife.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the most unbelievable thing ever.
it was the biggest waste of Jessica Miranda hot tub ever. All right. Listen, we need to take a break. The great Craig Robinson is here. Again, the Office finale is next to Thursday night on NBC. Peoples opens this Friday. But we need your help as a musician now, Craig. You got to put aside your acting for a second, because we know what a terrific singer you are, and we need you to help us. Kevin, explain what we're using Craig for here.
We are going to do K-Rock Weenie Roast tickets and backstage passes, but you have to, we're calling it Listeneroki, so you have to call in and you have to sing your favorite song from one of the bands that's playing this year on the lineup.
Okay.
So you call, you sing. Craig is here. He's our professional musician who's going to help us.
He's going to be our judge. He's going to be our Simon Cowell, basically, for this.
So you better bring it.
That's you got to sing a Black Keys song or 30 Seconds to Mars or Vampire Weekend or whoever you like on the bill. Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups of Monsters and Men, Atlas Genius, Fits in the Tantrums, whatever song you like from one of the bands playing the bill that day, which is a week from Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. You call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Someone is going to win backstage passes and tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 right after this on K-Rock. Claire Bowen from the TV show Nashville joins us in the 9 o'clock hour. She plays Scarlett. I bet you're not watching that show either, are you, Craig?
I don't have a television.
What?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
That's why I don't get to watch this stuff all the time. I catch it, you know, a lot of times on iTunes and stuff. I'll purchase.
Craig, you have a television.
Okay, I have a couple of televisions, but they are not... they're not on the wall. They're not connected. One's in storage. You know
what's going on? What the hell's going on with Craig Robinson?
I know. I'm in a dark place.
We are giving away tickets. Maybe they turned off his electricity. Maybe he has a TV, but he can't get any power. We are giving away tickets to the sold out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013. It's coming up a week from Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Craig Robinson is here. He is not only a great actor and comedian, he is a very accomplished musician. We love the hell out of you when you played the April Foolishness a couple of years ago. That's why we thought you'd be the perfect person to help us judge, because we're asking listeners to sing to try to win tickets and backstage passes. We call it Listener Rookie.
Listener Rookie, Listener Rookie, that's the game we're gonna play. Listener Rookie, Listener Rookie, come and sing and don't be lame.
And what are we looking for? It's always a difficult question. We're looking for entertainment value. It doesn't matter where that comes from, that it factor, whatever it is. Sometimes the people with the best voices don't win.
Yep.
It's just entertainment. That's what we're looking for. And Craig, you speak to that as a musician. Sometimes it's just the feeling you get when you listen to somebody sing, right?
Exactly. Okay.
All right, listen up. So we're going to pick one. We'll give everybody a chance that we have time for to sing, but we can only pick one. Only one will win. Let's start with Richard. He is on line one, and he gets us going on this edition of Listener Rookie. Richard, good morning. What song are you going to be singing?
Good morning, boys. We're going to sing Gold on the Ceiling.
Black Keys. Oh, the great Black Keys. Craig, you know the Black Keys, right? You got to know and love them, right?
Yes.
Because they're the best. Okay.
He has a radio.
Good luck.
Okay, I'll do a little intro. Da-da-da-da-da. Down in the waves, she screams again. A roar at the door. My mind can't take much more.
Okay, I think we've heard enough. Thank you very much. Everybody hold that in the back of your mind. Let's think about Richard doing the whitest version ever of the Black Keys.
He also just got done running or something. I don't know. He was out of breath for some reason.
All right, let's try our boy Steve. He is on line two. He's up next here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Steve.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Can
you
don't be intimidated by the big Hollywood star in the room, but what are you going to be singing for?
Yes, Steve.
I'm going to sing Jimmy Eat World.
All right. The middle? Okay, here we go.
All right. Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on.
All right, you hold on. Thank you. Let's try any kind of movement at all on that one, Craig? Do anything for you?
They both moved me a little bit, so yeah.
Toward the door to leave?
It's already a tight competition.
Yeah. Okay, I don't feel like we've heard the one that wows us yet, so let's keep going. Let's try Daniel. He's on line three. Hi, Daniel. Thanks a lot for listening and calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yes.
All right. what are we going to be hearing?
Oh, man.
Silver Sun Pickups, Lazy Eye.
Lazy Eye? I think Daniel's just saving it for the stage here, Kevin. He didn't give it all away in the pre-interview. All right, good luck, sir.
All righty. I've been waiting for this moment all my life, but it's not quite right. Ding, 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 ding.
And nice. I do like that part.
He almost lost me, and then he got to the guitar part.
That was awesome. All right, let's try Tim. Tim is on line four, and he is up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Tim. What are you singing for us?
I'm going to sing the Kill.
30 Seconds to Mars. Oh, good one. All right, good luck.
What if I wanted to break? Laugh it all off in your face. What would you do?
All right, you hold on. Thank you.
To me, the decision
just got easier.
He had a little bit of projecting on stage to me. Did you guys hear that? Sound like he was.
No.
What are you talking about? It sounded like he was in a theater there.
He sounded like he was in the theater.
Like, exactly.
He's in the Broadway. All right, let's get a couple of ladies on. I think that's what's missing here. Let's try Corey. Corey is on line 5. Let's see what she's going to do for us. Hi, Corey.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May. Corey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Corey?
All of a sudden, Craig is interested.
What's going on?
All right, let's hear what you got.
All right, here we go. Hey, don't listen to a word I say. Hey, our screams all sound the same. Hey, all the truth may bury us. Ship will carry our body safe to shore.
All right.
Nice. A little Monsters and Men.
Okay.
Take it easy, Corey.
They were on SNL over the weekend and sounded exactly like that. So well done. Let's try Kimberly. She's on line 7. Let's get another lady on the show here. Hi, Kimberly. Welcome. You're on with the great Craig Robinson. What are you going to sing for us?
Yes, I'm singing Capital City, Safe and Sound.
All right. Safe and Sound. Good song.
Okay. Bam, 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 bam. I could lift you up. I can show you what you want to see, take you where you want to be. You can be my luck. Even if the sky is falling down, I know that we'll be safe and sound.
Okay. Right.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Oh,
hey, thanks for that, I guess.
So sweet. All right, one more. Let's close out with Tessa on line 8. I think we started with the Black Keys. Looks like we're going to end with the Black Keys, too. Hi, Tessa.
Hi, good morning.
What song are you going to do?
I'm going to be singing The Lonely Boy.
Lonely Boy.
Lonely Boy. Good choice.
All right.
And hit it.
Well, I'm so above you, and it's plain to see. But I came to love you anyway. So you pull my heart out, and I don't mind bleeding. Any old time to keep me waiting. Waiting.
All right, fantastic.
I have an erection. Are you hold on? Thank you, Tessa.
Oh man,
that was Tessa singing the Black Keys right there.
It was so easy to the last one. Not easy. It was like I had one until Tessa, right? Yeah,
me too.
Can we have a sing off?
Yeah. Oh, so you've got two in mind. You like them both. All right, Tessa is one. Who's the other one?
Steve.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go back up to Steve then. He's on line 2. So we'll give him a chance to go for it again and just put everything they got into it, I guess, right?
Yeah. Steve?
Yes.
You're in the final 2.
I love it.
All right.
What I got to do to win?
You have to beat Tessa. That's what you have to do.
Sing again.
You and Tessa are going to go at it.
We're going out. Am I singing the same song, obviously, right?
Whatever you want, dude.
Rock our world.
If you think sometime, little girl, you're in love to lie. Everything will be just fine. Everything will be all right.
Why wouldn't you do that the first time?
All right, that was... Now, Craig, do you want us to go back to Tessa get her one more shot?
Okay.
All right, so it's going to be Steve versus Tessa to win the tickets and backstage passes. Tessa, what you do now is going to determine whether you win or not, so good luck, okay?
Okay. Gold on the ceiling, I ain't blind, just a matter of time for you stealing. It's all right, ain't no guy in my mind.
Come on.
Oh, nice, now nice.
What?
All right, Mr. Robinson, it's up to you.
We literally do not have two pairs.
Only one can win, yeah.
Can they go together?
No, they can't go together. Gray, you got to pick, man. You paid the cost to be the boss,
Tessa,
man.
Tessa got it in that last.
Tessa got it?
Yeah. She got it with that last
Tessa
one.
Tessa got it. All
Jimmy,
right.
You were great. I mean, yeah, Steve was great.
Tessa, congratulations. You're the winner.
Congratulations, Tessa.
Yay, thank you.
You got tickets and the backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013, which is a week from Saturday. Nicely done. We'll see you there.
Thank you.
So you killed Steve, essentially, Craig, right? I mean, you broke his heart.
He was great, man.
You just crumpled him up and threw him away is what happened.
Tessa did. She came with a, a,
a little more soul.
Yeah.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little gritty there. A little more. Like you could feel the pain of what she was saying.
Well, I'm glad you had to make that decision and not us, because it's a terrible position to be in. But Craig Robinson, ladies and gentlemen, the new film is called Peoples. It looks very, very funny. It opens up everywhere this Friday. Please go see that. And then The Office on Thursday nights for 2 more weeks on NBC. Craig, please come back and see us when you get a chance, man. We love having you.
Believe it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you getting the word out. And thanks to everybody for, you know, supporting me. You are the wind beneath my wings. And thanks, Lisa, for getting my name right.
We're going to talk to actress Claire Bowen, coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show right at the top of the hour. She, of course, from Nashville. Ralph, you're going to stick around for that. You love that Nashville, right?
Love me some Nashville. It is, don't get me wrong, it is pure nighttime soap opera stuff,
right?
But yeah, it is so well done.
But you
and
hate
so well acted
country
and
music.
I know. And so imagine how good that show is that I'm addicted to.
That's
it.
Impressive.
And the music on it really is very good. I know, it's inexplicable. Right. I'm not a fan of country music, yet I really enjoy the music on that show. And the characters are well drawn, and the performances are great. I mean, it really is just high quality nighttime soap opera stuff.
Well, we're very excited. We're big fans of the Nashville, so we'll be talking to her coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. And, of course, more chances for you to win your tickets and backstage passes for K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 in the 9 o'clock hour as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I'm concerned about Gunner, though, because I think he's on the ropes, man, with his brother
Gunner?
With his brother dying and everything.
Nothing but trouble.
He feels responsible, and now he's dealing with heartbreak, and his girlfriend, now she's got the recording contract with Raina James' new label, and he doesn't. I mean, what's going to happen, Kevin?
He's living
what's
in his car.
Happen? He's not living in his car.
Plus, his best friend is a dude who keeps trying to kiss him, and he doesn't like that.
Yeah, that's kind of hot, though. What? I mean, no, that would be wrong.
Good-looking fellow, though, that guy, I'll tell you.
Let's talk about sex, shall we?
Okay.
Yay!
We must.
Farrah Abraham. You know her as Teen Mom.
Farrah Abramson?
That's how I know her.
Kevin knows her. Farrah Abramson. She is not nice. No one really likes her. Yet everyone apparently wants to see her have sex with somebody, because Vivid Entertainment announced you could download it off of their website. People went there in droves, crashed the website. TMZ is reporting that 2 million people logged on to check out Backdoor Teen Mom in just 12 hours. Which crushed the previous record of Kim Kardashian and Ray J's tape, which got 600,000 hits in its first 12 hours. So a lot of people, I guess, got caught up in the hype. They want to see what it's all about.
Either she homeless or she got problems.
Well, she's got problems. That much we know. Yeah, she's the backdoor teen mom.
She is.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here.
No black man. James Dean is the co-star, and he's not black. More tributes pouring out for legendary special effects artist Ray Harryhausen. He was the undisputed master of special effects for, 40 years? He specialized in stop-motion animation, but created a way where actors, live actors, could interact with stop-motion effects. It was a process he called Dynamation, and probably most famously is the sword fight scene with the skeletons from Jason and the Argonauts, which is still impressive even to this day. He would exercise almost complete creative control over his films that he was involved in. He would help shape the story, the script, the art direction, scouted locations. He was very involved and quite a masterful filmmaker. Passed away at the age of 92.
For the sword fight.
He is not alive, if that's what you're saying. Yes.
For those sword fights, he would do that one frame at a time? That's what you're talking about?
Stop motion animation.
How long could that possibly have taken?
The articulated figures, usually made of wire with clay or latex or something put on top of them, and then, like an animated film, where you have one, you know, when they do hand-drawn animation, they have a cell, which is hand-drawn, which shows that just a slight difference in position or something, and they take a picture, and then they move, and they take another picture one frame at a time.
God.
He would do that with stop-motion animation with his characters, and then he had a process where he could insert live actors into those scenes, so it would look like you were battling a dinosaur, for example, or a skeleton warrior in case of Jason or the Argonauts. It was, for the time, revolutionary, and still the basis for a lot of special effect work that we see today, so kind of a legend. As is Lindsay Lohan. She's a legend. The world of effed up addicts. Oh, she's not an addict. She tells us she's not an addict.
She doesn't have that problem.
She is having a hard time giving up her Adderall. Here's what TMZ is saying. Betty Ford Clinic sources say that the only reason she entered their treatment program is because they would allow her to continue using her prescribed Adderall, which is a powerful stimulant. It's basically meth. I did a little research and found out initially it was created as a diet pill.
That was the original use?
The original intent for Adderall is you would take it and it would ramp up your metabolism, so without diet or exercise, you could shed weight that way. And a lot of Hollywood starlets still use it for that reason today. But then they found out that it could be useful in the treatment of ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, where those people are hyper and have difficulty in focusing because of their body chemistry. The stimulant of Adderall would have an opposite effect, would have a calming and focusing effect on them. So that's where they started prescribing it for people with ADHD.
So are we guessing which one Lindsay is?
Which do you think? Lindsay has ADHD or Lindsay...
It could be both.
Likes getting high.
I'll tell you, coming off of that stuff, did you read about that?
Yeah,
it's brutal.
It's like trying to get out of meth addiction.
Yeah.
It's highly addictive, and it is very difficult to give up. And so they're going to diagnose her there in the facility, and if they find that she has been misdiagnosed with the ADHD, they might have to wean her off that medication as well. And they say that would make Lindsay very unhappy.
Can she just move to a different rehab every day for 90 days?
Why not?
Is that acceptable?
No one said I had to stay in the same rehab. They said I needed to be in rehab for 90 days.
She's already been in three, right? Or no, she didn't go to the first one. She's been in two.
She should get a deal with the Travel Channel.
There you go.
And create a series called 90 Rehabs in 90 Days, where she just goes around the world to different rehab facilities.
I like it.
But really, the best thing they could have done was send her abroad to deal with to work with children.
That was her idea.
That's what they should have done.
It was a brilliant idea.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Dodger first baseman Adrian Gonzalez is 31 years old today. Singer Enrique Iglesias is 38. His mole is 25.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dave Rountree of Blur is 49 years old today. Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie and a former Screen Actors Guild president. She's 49 years old. Alex Van Halen of the band Van Halen is 60 years old.
Now, he's not Fat Van Halen, right?
No, that was Michael Anthony. He wasn't one of the brothers. He was the bass player.
Oh, okay.
Then Wolfgang came in.
Wolfgang Amadeus?
Yes, Mozart.
Possibly.
Wolfgang Van Halen, who is Eddie's son, came in to play bass.
I see, okay.
When they reunited with Diamond Dave. So it's Alex and Eddie were the two brothers in the band. Alex is the drummer.
Got it.
60 years old today. Mike D'Antonio, LA Lakers head coach, 62 years old. He did a hell of a job, too, this year, I think.
It was really a good season.
And comedian Don Rickles is 87 years old today. Speaking of seasons, when do your Los Angeles
Kings
play next? Tonight?
Game 5 tonight.
Series is all knotted up at 2?
2-2. This one's in St. Louis.
Ooh, it's back in St. Louis,
That's
huh?
That's right.
Well, since my Flyers are never made the playoffs, I'm back in the Kings this year, so go Kings.
Ducks play tonight, too, for you Ducks fans.
A lot of hockey going on, people. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Nikki Anderson. Ooh, Nikki with two Ks. Those are the hot Nickies, you guys. Nikki Anderson from Costa Mesa, who just won her tickets and her backstage passes for K-Rock's Weenie Roast 2013. We've got them for you all day long today, all the way up until 8 o'clock. Keep on listening for your chance to win and get those details at krock.com. Ralph, you want to do the honors here?
Well, it's one of my favorite TV shows. Nashville is... in the best possible way. It is one of the great nighttime soap operas. I am so deeply involved with these storylines and these characters.
Do you believe they're real?
I do. And none more so than the lovely and talented Scarlett O'Connor, played by Claire Bowen, who we welcome onto the show today.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, how are you? Hello.
We're doing great. I was just telling the guys before you came on the phone that it's going to blow our minds when you get on the phone and you have your actual real Australian accent, because we've now become used to you speaking like an American. So this is kind of weird for us.
Yeah, people say that. Like, they hear me speaking, they're like, what? But yeah, sorry, I'm just consider it like the deep, deep South or something.
Right, exactly.
Is it hard, Claire, to perform and also constantly have to be aware of the accent and using that on the show?
It's kind of more fun than anything else. My dad used to bring his booties for me when I was little. He worked with an airline, and he'd bring things home from Los Angeles, and all of my favorites were Southern, like Fried Green Tomatoes and Song of the South and stuff, and I actually learned just from listening. So it's just sort of playing a character that I've been able to do for a little while, and when I read the Nashville script, I loved it so much that I just thought there's no way I'm going to get this. It's just so good. It's Callie Corey and T-Bone Burnett, and it's with the ABC. I'll just go in and have fun with it. And I walked in with Scarlett's accent the way it is now, and they kept it.
Is the American English accent easy to do? Because it seems like everyone can do it flawlessly, and yet when we try to do others, they're not good.
Well, Australian's really, really difficult. I think Australian and South African are the most difficult. I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't really studied accents properly, so I don't know exactly which ones are really hard or you know why. Maybe it's Americans have a very definite way of speaking. I've found that it like hurt my mouth for a while when I said California, but Southern it's weird, but Southern's really easy.
It does seem like Australians and English actors have an easier time doing American than vice versa, and maybe it's because, like you said, there's so much entertainment exported from America that you're just exposed to it a lot.
It's probably that. We grow up listening to it, so it becomes kind of second nature.
Right, right.
And it's a cool now, accent. I like it.
I would think, and I'm right there with Ralph, and how much I love the show. I never, ever miss an episode. But I'm surprised. I can't even imagine what the audition process must have been like to not only find people who could act, but people who could convincingly play music that they're actually playing and singing. Now, you had a tremendous background in musical theater, right? You've been doing that for years and years and years, right?
When I was little, I did it a fair bit, and then the last thing I did was with Kate Blanchett. I did Spring Awakening. She's the artistic overseer at the Sydney Theatre Company where we did it. I played Wendler, and she took me aside after our opening night, and she was the one who told me to come over to the U.S. So it was pretty scary still. It's a very different thing being on television. I hadn't really done a lot of TV before.
Plus, playing guitar and singing country music was something completely foreign to you, right?
Yeah, I don't. I love bluegrass, so they asked me if I could play an instrument, and I said, well, I'd really like to learn the banjo, and they said, can you play it? I went, probably.
I'm sure I could. I've never heard anyone say I love bluegrass before. That's a sentence that I've never heard in my life.
Really? Oh, yeah. God, it's beautiful. It was
well, then you got to meet Mr. Steve Martin, Kevin, for starters, for God's sakes. What about those scenes where you so often are playing at the what passes for the Bluebird Cafe, the legendary singer-songwriter place there in Nashville? I mean, you're playing for a room full of extras, but it's like you're given a concert, right?
It is, and they're having so much fun. And that's like one of the best things about our show is that the people of Nashville and the surrounding cities, they all those extras travel. Like some of them have traveled like 3 hours that morning to get there just to be on the show and be a part of it. Hmm. So you're actually playing to an audience who's really appreciative, and they sit there for 13 hours while we get all the shots that we need, and they're still so excited. They're just the best people. I love them so much. And the Bluebird is just wild to play at.
Claire, the work of everyone there on the show when they're performing the music, I think is the best representation I've ever seen of live performance of music. Do you guys sing to tracks on the set, or are you performing there live? How do you work it?
Well, there are little bits of live stuff. I think when you see Scarlett sitting on the porch a few episodes ago and Avery comes up to her and gives her the celebratory champagne, that's when I'm playing the banjo, that's live. So there are little tiny bits, but the thing is, you can't get the right sound from the microphones. There's all this interference. So if you were to do song after song after song, it would take so much longer because buses go past and there are helicopters and it rains and you can hear it on the roof. So without that interference, it's just a lot easier to go into the studio with somebody like T-Bone or Buddy Miller, who is there, and they know exactly the situation. We know where we've got to put it. So it's all our voices. So it's recorded, but we're singing to ourselves a lot of the time. But when I did the Opry, this was really special for me. I got to do the Opry as Scarlett, and you'll see that in a couple of episodes' time. So there's a tiny little spoiler. I'm going to get in trouble. But I got to walk out onto lots of people know about it. There was a huge, huge amount of extras and a full house at the Opry when I walked out and did it. So that we did two takes in the first, that was live.
Wow.
So that was something, and that's going to be played on the show, and it's like, that was the first time I really got to sing out live for the television show, and I was really proud of that. That was something else. And
I get goosebumps thinking about that. That's amazing. The people of Nashville, I know because I have friends there and friends in country radio there, they were super nervous about a primetime television show called Nashville because they were afraid that it was going to be somebody making fun of the city. But it seems like you've completely won them over, and they love the way your show represents Nashville. You spend a lot of time there. What kind of interaction do you have with the people on the street, and what do they tell you?
Oh, they're wonderful. They all say hello, and you know, they ask for photographs and just to talk. But the best ones are the ones who just say, you know what, we really love the show. Because it's their city. I mean, I'd be paranoid if I'd grown up somewhere or if I'd moved somewhere so iconic and a show was being made about it. You know, it's in somebody else's hands and everybody has their own take on Nashville. And so the feedback that we've gotten, that people really love the show, they get so excited when there's a live performance or when they see us, when they meet us. That's the best part. It's so cool.
When are we going to hear about a season two pickup? I mean, it's got to happen. There's no way you don't come back, right?
I think we'll know within the next couple of days. The ratings are really good, and everybody's very excited. So it's kind of like, you know, I hope the next adventure is in Nashville. It could be anywhere, but I think we're okay. I believe in the show, and a lot of other people do. So I think we're going to be fine. I think we'll see you soon.
Well, it is terrific. And again, it airs on Wednesday nights on ABC. There's another new episode tonight at 10. I want to ask you one last PS question here while we have you on the phone, Claire Bowen. And that is, I went on your Twitter this morning and I saw this tweet from you on Monday that I need some explanation on. It just says, I've just discovered iFart later.
Oh, man.
What the heck is iFart, Claire?
iFart is, I'm so childish. I'm so sorry. And I'm out in Atlanta recording and with a couple of friends and having a bit of fun with my brother and my boyfriend, and they're all guys. So we've discovered this app, and it's all these different farts that people have recorded. I don't know if they're actual people's farts. I hope they're synthetic. I don't know. But frankly, anybody who doesn't think farts are funny is an alien.
Agreed.
It's the simplest form of humor.
Agreed.
Step one, fart. Step two, laugh. So, sorry. One part of my brain is owned by a 12-year-old boy.
Well, all right.
Well, hopefully for you, there'll be more Scarlet farts coming up in a second season of Nashville that gets picked up.
Claire, thank you so much for the time. Continued success of the show. We really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to meet you guys.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Albuquerque.
Ralph sounds like he's got one foot out the door already.
Well, singing about Albuquerque for some reason.
I'm heading to Albuquerque, baby.
All right.
I'm probably taking my mustache on the road.
I was wondering about that. This has something to do with your mustache, right? You're filming a Western.
I'm finally able to release the power that is my mustache. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like being a nuclear superpower and never being able to drop the bomb. But now finally I can release the pent-up energy of the mustache.
Now, do you have to, is that a carry-on or do you have to check it?
I have to check the mustache. Nah. It won't fit in the overhead compartment.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot a little bit in a movie for the next couple days, so I will be gone for a while. I'll be back middle of next week, and then I go back to Albuquerque in June to finish up and shoot a little bit more. So it's the new Seth MacFarlane movie. He's doing a Western comedy, and I grew my mustache to look more Western. I think I look very Western.
It's pretty strong.
Who are you playing? Do you know much about your character, Ralph?
My character's name is Dan. And I play one of the townspeople of the small frontier town where Seth's character is prominent, the role. Yes.
Is it animated?
No, this is a live-action film.
Live-action, okay.
Like, this is the follow-up to Ted.
Oh, okay.
Of course, which was a huge hit for Seth. Now
this is Western Ted.
His second feature film that he co-wrote and is directing and starring in. I think it's his first starring role as an actor.
Oh, he's starring. Oh.
Yeah, it's not an animated character this time.
Good
for
him.
It's Seth playing the lead, and also stars Charlize Theron will also be in the film.
All right, then.
And Liam Neeson also in the film.
Wow.
It's star-studded, and...
And you.
And then me. Yes.
Now, is there any way, is your scene so vital to the movie that there's no way you can get cut out?
Nope.
Okay.
that was my worry. It's every opportunity to cut me out.
But his mustache is that vital.
That's right. There's no way they can cut the stache out. They may
the mustache is definitely in the
movie.
They
might CGI me out of the film, but the mustache will remain. Yeah. No, my role is basically a cameo.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a self-flattering way of saying it's a bit part.
But it's still awesome because it's still going to be a great experience and it's going to be a great movie because Seth MacFarlane is doing
it. I love Seth. I love working with him, so I'm just going to go and have a good time and
hang out with Charlize. All right.
A little working vacation. I get to go.
Yeah, I don't want to cause any trouble in the Garmin household at all, but it sure seems like the fates have a way of throwing you and Charlize Theron together a lot.
The universe does want that to happen.
It seems like they're definitely pointing you toward each other, doesn't it? It's not your fault.
It is relentless. They keep making our paths cross because we have not fulfilled our destiny.
So. You say to Charlize every time you see her, you're like,
in another time, another universe, maybe it would have worked out, but I'm going home to my wife and child right now. Okay, see you later. And then, boom, like a week later, somehow you have to face her again.
And she's got a kid now, too, so we got that to bond over. You know, we can tell parenting stories.
It's on.
It's on.
It is on.
It's going to be a little bit of magic.
Can I tell you guys how Beer Mug just mocked me? We talked about Ralph's mustache for a while, and then I asked if it was animated. And Muggs writes, why would Ralph need a mustache if it was animated?
That is an excellent, excellent point.
That didn't occur to me.
That is an excellent point. Unless I was such a method actor that if my character was drawn with a mustache, I would have to grow one in order to fulfill my voiceover duties.
All right, my bad.
Yeah, you just got schooled by Beer Mug.
I can't believe I didn't pick up on that. Yeah. Beer Mug was the one who noticed that.
Muggs noticed it and just wrote me a little note.
Maybe Beer Mug is like some sort of idiot savant where he can't focus on the things that are right in front of him, but he's got this other part of his cerebral cortex
right.
who's just absorbing and processing all this information in a very different way than
he
the rest
hears
of us.
Every time I'm an idiot. Don't get me wrong. He's tuned into that.
Yeah.
All right, let's
get
the show.
Get it done. See?
Well, I got a plane to catch.
Learn, kids.
Let's go.
Learn, kids.
Learn, kids. Really quickly, I heard you talking to your boyfriend Roland there for a minute.
Yes.
I just tweeted.
I think he likes us.
Tweeted
He's
a link to
us.
A video that's on YouTube now. I think it was just released yesterday. Of Zachary Quinto and Leonard Nimoy faced off challenge with each other. It's for Audi. It's about it's about cars, but it's one of those funny little viral videos.
Very funny.
The two of them squaring off together. And if you're a fan of Star Trek like Roland is, you're going to want to check that out. It's a very entertaining little short film. So
all right.
Go check that out. Follow me at Ralph Garman if you want to find the link.
Just trying to get in good with Roland.
Well, I don't want to be on his bad side. He blasted you with a phaser at every given opportunity. That's all
I'm starting my new Twitter account at Ralph Garman's Mustache right now, by the way.
It's just temporary.
Just till you get the animated film done.
Until he's finished drawing me. This bums me out because I used to look forward to this every Sunday night on Sunday Night Football, watching that Faith Hill get out there and just shake her ass and sing.
Yeah, she's good.
Sing Waiting All Day for Sunday Night. She is no longer part of the broadcast.
Who are they going with now?
Now that song is going to be sung by... First it was Pink, remember? Pink started that.
Right, I do remember that.
It was Pink, and then Faith Hill took it over and just made it her own, and now apparently...
And this was all after Hank Williams Jr. had the long run with it, right, with the Sunday Night song, right? Or the Monday Night song,
He was
right?
Monday Night Football.
Yeah, oh, I see, this is different, Sunday Night, okay.
Sunday Night Football. Sunday is different than Monday, it turns out. And Carrie Underwood is going to be taking over for Faith Hill, which isn't nearly as good.
All right.
Not nearly as exciting.
A good singer, but not as much fun to look at.
No, she's no Faith Hill. Give me some of that.
I thought Carrie Underwood was pretty hot.
She's fine. She's attractive, but she's got that sort of sterile attractiveness.
Oh, okay.
Totally.
Not sexy.
Antiseptic.
Yeah. She's sort of like an ice princess kind of thing, which she's nice to look at, but she doesn't have the vibe. Faith Hill, she would just poof.
She would wear you out.
She would just destroy you.
Faith's not afraid to get her hair messed up a little bit.
Carrie would never
do that.
No.
All right.
Lady Lohan! She's not afraid to get her hair messed up either.
No.
Usually, of course, it's because someone's holding it because she's vomiting. But she is currently in the Betty Ford Clinic, and TMZ is saying that one of the reasons she went to Betty Ford is because that was the only treatment program that would allow her to use her drug of choice, Adderall. She's on the Adderall. Now, most people who take Adderall use it as a... treatment for ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It is an upper. It's basically pure meth, and it for the people with that disorder, it helps them calm down and focus. However, if you're just a regular person and you take it, it makes you high the way meth does. Highly addictive. A lot of Hollywood's starlets, it's a dirty little secret, they use it for weight loss, which was the original reason the drug was created, because it will increase your metabolism without any diet or exercise. You can lose the weight that way. You ever see a meth person? You rarely see a fat meth.
They're not
addict.
Fat. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Why is Beer Mug not on Adderall, by the way?
I don't know. Let's get him some right away. So they took her in while she was on this, but now the doctors there are apparently going to re-diagnose her, and if they find that maybe she, I'm not saying she ever would, but was faking that condition and was getting a prescription for this drug illicitly, that they would actually take her off that drug, which if you hear the sound of a bomb going off, it may be Lindsay Lohan finding out they're taking away her Adderall.
Just can't believe she's still in rehab.
Yeah, so far so good.
I'm shocked.
So far so good. And Joe Francis, scumbag.
from Girls Gone Wild. He was found guilty yesterday of assault, 3 counts of false imprisonment, and 1 count of dissuading a witness from reporting yesterday in Los Angeles.
Doesn't that sound like his sentence should be more than what it was?
Well, he could face 5 years in jail because he refused to let three ladies leave his house in Hollywood. They wanted to go, and he wouldn't let them leave. Blech. Sounds like a weekend at Bean's house. he is due to be sentenced today, so we'll find out exactly what he's going to get. We'll see what happens.
He's a total f***ing asshole.
He's not a nice guy. He doesn't strike me as a nice guy.
No.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Adrian Gonzalez of your Los Angeles Dodgers, 31 years old today. Enrique Iglesias is 38. Dave Roundtree of Blur celebrates his 49th birthday, as does Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie. Alex Van Halen, drummer for Van Halen. He's a great drummer. A lot of the attention in that band gets focused on Eddie because he's known as one of the greatest guitarists in rock history.
Yep.
But Alex, also an excellent, excellent drummer, 60 years old today. Mike D'Antonio, or D'Antoni, rather, from the Los Angeles Lakers. He is 62. And comedian Don Mother Effin Rickles, still funny at 87 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Dan Bova. The Maxim Hot 100 list will be the topic.
Do me a favor. Check out and see if that number one is true or not, because Miley Cyrus said she was number one, and that better not be true.
If that's the case, do we have anything else to say to him?
I don't believe we do. We just thank
him for his service, and he's banned from the Kevin and Bean Show for life.
One more thing to say to him. Who do I contact to cancel my Maxim subscription?
We also have Mark Maron in the studio. We have Dr. Drew on the program. We have comedian Eddie Ift. We have a brand new internet roundup. And we have your tickets and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 tomorrow morning.